So with that said, I would love to be able to say that I'm going to take you back to Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm not. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. It's that time of year where you got to hear something from me that you hear at least once a year. And you got to hear it from me again. And hopefully you guys are gearing up for Christmas. It's that crazy time of year, isn't it? Man, I don't know about you guys, but everybody running 100 miles an hour and everybody getting sick. You know, our own Saul Villagomez down. He's been down with bronchitis and he got strep throat, pink eye. I mean, that poor guy's down, you know. And so you guys just be careful if you're sick and, you know, please don't bring it here. All right. And but, you know, there is one thing that is amazing, and that is, as Joel and John have already shared, the love of Jesus Christ that can make this season a completely different time. And so hopefully you're keeping him the reason for what you do this year, okay? So are you in Mark chapter 4? Lord Jesus, we ask today that you would take your word and light it on fire. Lord, let it burn within us. Lord, as the two men that were on the road to Emmaus, when they realized they'd been with you, their hearts burned within them. And so, Lord, let our hearts burn today because we've been in your presence. And may you teach us, Lord, I believe, the most important principle of the Christian life. Let us get it. Let us catch it. Let us be reminded. And, Lord, may you speak to our hearts today. So we invite you to be the guest of honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys, many of you, this may be review. You may get tired of me harping on you about this. If I go somewhere and I get one chance at a group of people when we were in Maui, I shared this very principle. And so it's kind of one of those things that, for me, it's a great passion. And so let me just tell you where we are at in Mark chapter 4. Jesus, at this particular point in time, has risen literally to the height of his popularity. Mark goes quick. By the way, men, if you're going to want to join us in our Tuesday night men's study, we just finished our Old Testament section, and now we're going to jump in back into the new, and we're going to be studying the book of Mark. So if you want to come and join me and the rest of the guys on Tuesday, every other Tuesday, we're going to read the book of Mark, and then come and join us, okay? So Jesus and Mark clips along really quick. It's a fast-moving, that's why I like it. It's fast-moving. And so what we have at this particular time, Jesus has, you know, had confrontations with the religious leaders. Now, he isn't being aggressive. They are trying to trap him. And Jesus then in turn spins things back around and they step in their own traps. And so people are watching this. Because, you know, in that particular culture, you don't mess with, with the priests. You don't mess with those guys. Some of you that grew up in the Catholic Church, you understand there's this reverence for those guys, man. And so, in that culture, same idea. So they've seen this confrontation. They've seen the way Jesus handles them. So they're kind of following Jesus to see, why is he able to do that and seemingly to get away with it? So at this time, there's huge, huge crowds of people following him. Now, when you watch the Hollyweird productions, you usually see a small amount of people following him. Listen, there were thousands of people following him. When he did the Sermon on the Mount, and if you look up in that area of in the Sea of Galilee there, you see there they have this one place like an amphitheater there. And let me tell you, you can fit 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And that's how many, remember when he fed 4,000 at one time? He feeds 5,000. That's just counting the men, not even counting the women and the children. So we don't wrap our minds around the large crowds that are following him around. And so they're following him, however, for many different reasons. One of them is they want to see this confrontation. But then there are others. I mean, Jesus is doing miracles, and no one can deny it. He's doing miracles that are so radical, right in front of people, right in front of their eyes. It's like, not like they're making one leg longer where somebody's kind of walking weird and they make the leg longer. No, he's taking leprous skin that is literally being eaten alive. Some of them, they were missing components. They were missing fingers or ears and pieces of their body. He's touching lepers, which no rabbi in that culture would touch them. He's touching them and not only healing their leprosy, but their fingers or their ear would be put back like new. I mean, how do you do something like that in front of people where a guy no ear and Jesus touches him and his ears are there? Or blind people. Some of them, I believe one of them didn't even have any eyeballs. And I wonder if that's why Jesus spit made mud. I wonder if he made little eyeballs, put them in there. I don't know. I trip out on this stuff, okay? But anyway, blind people see. Demon-possessed, you know, suddenly in their right minds. So he's doing miracles that are so radical that the word spreads quick. And so they're following him around because they either want to see a miracle or they want a miracle for themselves or for maybe a family member. So they're following him for that reason. Still others, because he's fed 5,000 people, people are thinking, hey, let's see if we can get another lunch out of this guy. If you hang out and listen to his message, he buys lunch. And so some people are following him to see if he's going to feed them again. So I guess the point of this is, amongst this huge crowds of people that are following him, many of them are following him for the wrong reason. They're not following him for the right reason. And listen, Jesus knows that. And so because of that, he changes his method of teaching, and he starts using what they call parables. Now, a parable is literally para, in the Greek is alongside, so he's telling stories alongside of truth, and those work very well sometimes. But in that culture, he did it for two reasons. One reason is that it was helping people to understand what would, at times could be difficult, and another reason is because of the priests that were following him around, they were looking at that saying, is that all this guy's got, little children's stories? This is ridiculous. So in reality, they were not receiving the truth because Jesus was presenting it almost in a childlike fashion. So their pride, it was hiding them from being able to see it. So that's what brings us to Mark chapter 4. So take a look at it. Let's read the first 9 verses and then we'll pick it up. And again, he began to teach by the sea. So up in the Sea of Galilee, up near Capernaum. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and he sat on it. Because it was so many people, you guys, they were like pressuring him. Like pretty soon I can imagine Jesus like stepping in the water. So there's a boat there. So he steps in the boat just to get some breathing room. And a whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So then he taught them many things by parables. And then he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came down and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, and it increased, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Then he said to them, and this would be this huge multitude, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus stands in this boat, and as he's standing in that boat, everybody's waiting either for a miracle, for lunch, or a confrontation, or whatever else they might have been following him. Jesus teaches this crazy parable. We call it the parable of the sower, parable of the dirt, whatever you want to call it. He finishes it. He pulls the boat back up to the shore, hops out of the boat, walks off. End of story. So those people that are standing there that are thinking, well, is he not going to buy lunch? Well, it's noon. The line's probably getting pretty long at In-N-Out Burger, so I guess I'm out of here. Or maybe we'll go to Chick-fil-A. So they decide they're going to leave. If he's not buying lunch, we're out of here. Then a whole other group said, well, there's no religious leaders here today, so obviously there's not going to be any kind of a confrontation, so I guess we're out of here. He doesn't do any miracles. So those people that wanted to see a miracle, they said, well, then I guess if there's not going to be a miracle service here, if nobody's getting healed, we're out of here. So pretty soon this multitude of people thinned out, And we'll call them the blessing seekers. Those that wanted a blessing for themselves. Those that said, we are coming here because we heard Jesus is here and we want something. Well, they decide to bail out of the situation. So pretty soon they're all gone. Jesus walks off to the side, and there he's with his disciples, and it's a very interesting thing that takes place as we watch this. And this is kind of what I would like to share with you guys today. After all, everyone else is gone, the blessing seekers have departed, there's a small group that says, well, we're not leaving. We want to know what's going on here. So look what it says in verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so it was not just his 12 disciples or apostles, there was others there too, asked him about the parable. And so he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, he probably pointed to those, you know, the dust of the people walking away. To those who are outside, all things will come in parables, so that seeing, they may see, but they're not going to perceive it. They'll see it, but they can't make it out. Hearing, they may hear it, but they're not going to understand it. Because if they did, they would turn, and their sin would be forgiven them. And so then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Then Jesus goes on to explain this whole parable, which that's for a different Bible study for a different day. I want you to see something here. This group came there and they heard the same message. They heard the same study that Jesus did for the whole multitude. So those that just bailed out, they heard the message that Jesus did. But there's another group of people that said, no, you know what? We want to stay here. I want to, what was that all about? What was he talking about? So to that group of people, to that small group, the 12 and whoever else were there with them, that little group of people, they wanted to spend time with Jesus and they wanted to learn. They wanted to hear it from him. What did you mean by that parable? I don't understand. Would you explain it to us? So they were willing to spend that private, quiet, alone time with Jesus, and in so doing, the blessing seekers that came to look for the blessing, they didn't get it, they left, and these guys that weren't looking for the blessing got the blessing. Isn't that interesting? So this group said, you know what, we're just here for you, Jesus, because in all reality, we recognize you are the blessing giver. We don't want just the blessing, we want you, because you're the one that gives the blessing, and so we want you. And so here's the amazing thing. They realized that if they would just spend time with Jesus, that he would give them that blessing. That he would be the blessing, if you will. And so that is in the essence of what devotion is. Now this is what's radical. In the book of Amos that we just finished, did you guys, for those of you going through the Old Testament, we just finished it. And one that leapt out at me that blew my mind was Amos 4:13. Listen to what it says. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, and reveals his thoughts to mankind. He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. Can you guys imagine that? He brings the sun. When you saw that sun come up this morning, God made that happen. The stars in the sky, God made that happen. The breath that you breathe, God's bringing it to you right now. He has all the planets exactly where they need to be. The earth is in its orbit. Everything is in its perfect order because God's done that. And what blows my mind is it says that he reveals his thoughts to mankind. Can you imagine that? The creator of the known and the unknown universe, the God of heaven's armies, wants to reveal his thoughts to you and to me. Try to wrap your mind around that. The infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe that created everything that is wants to speak into your mind. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to reveal what his thoughts are to you. That's radical. And so here, that's it. What devotion is. It's saying, I want to know, just like that group of people, they were willing to spend time with Jesus And he revealed his thoughts to them. And in essence, that's what it is. Now, devotion, if you will, simply means spending time with Jesus Christ. So devotion, according to the dictionary, it means this: a deep, steadfast affection, as the devotion of a mother to her child, the giving up or being given up to some person, purpose, or service. It literally means a sacrifice. Now, Webster says it this way: strong affection and ardent love. Strong affection or ardent love. So in all reality, what it means is building a relationship. See, when a husband and wife get married, a relationship that had already begun, and hopefully you were friends before you got married, but that relationship then continues to build and to grow. You get to know each other. You talk to each other. You spend time with each other. You learn what you know makes you tick, and you learn what ticks them off, and you learn what their color, their favorite color. You learn what their desires and their dreams are. You learn what kind of food. That's the building of a relationship. Of two people being devoted to one another, that's what happens in a beautiful relationship. That's what should be happening in a healthy marriage relationship. And so this group of people is saying, we are willing to spend time with Jesus for really one reason. We want him. We want to learn from him. We want him to reveal himself to us. He already knows us. That's not the issue. But we want to get to know him. And how you do that is by spending time with him in his word. And that is the way that we grow as Christians. Now, devotion then means, I don't want anything from you. I want you. Does that make sense, you guys? I just want you. You know, when your kids, some of us that are here, you know, that have older children, for those of you that have younger ones right now, enjoy this. You know, when your kids just come up, when they're younger, they just come and they sit by you. And you look at them and say, what do you want? You know, now some of you as grandparents get to enjoy this. And you go, what do you want? Well, I just want to sit by you. I mean, do you not eat that up? Right? Is that not just something that you just go, oh my gosh, you know, here's $1,000. Just stay here with me, right? Right? You know, and but then what happens, unfortunately, is kids continue to grow up, then pretty soon they kind of lose that. And now when they sit by you, they do want something from you. You know, what do you want? Oh, nothing. Is the car full of gas? You know what I'm saying? Right? So that's what happens as they get older. And, you know, I think it's cool. Husbands, don't you just love it? You know, like if your wife, you know, if you're sitting there and you say, hey, you know, look, I got to run down to the hardware store. I got to run down the hill. And your wife says, wait, where are you going? I've got to go to, you know, Home Depot. And she says, well, why don't you hang on a second? I'll go with you. And you go, no, you don't know. You don't want to go. Why do you want to go with me? I just want to be with you. Husbands? Yeah. Don't you love that? Now, girls, can I give you a little bit of a clue, okay? Some of you girls think, oh, no, I don't know if I want to do that, because then that means we got to talk all the way down, all the way back. Listen, you go sit next to your man. Quality time for you, your husband, it means you just sit in the car with him. You don't have to talk to him at all. That doesn't require any conversation, okay? It's a piece of cake. So girls, you can sit there and read a book or, you know, buy and sell on the internet. And you're just in the car with him and he's going, this is amazing. So don't get freaked out and think that you got to, you know, think of conversation, okay? But when my wife does that with me, I sit there and go, here's $1,000. So it's an amazing thing. That is in essence, that's exactly, can you imagine what God, the creator of the universe, says when we wake up in the morning, we say, Dad, I just want to be with you. I just want to sit with you right now. I don't want anything from you. I just want to hear you. I want to know what you have to say to me. I want your instruction. I want to be counseled by you. Do you know King David knew that? Listen to this. If you're writing this down, put this down there next to verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 9, and 9 through 16, literally. And it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. King David was a lover of God, and he knew that in order to discover that relationship with God, it included his word. Isn't that amazing? So God's word, if you will, is food. David just said that. I'm going to take it in. Listen to this in Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, we're not, he didn't just tear out pages and eat it. What that means is that he was taking in the word of God. He was saying, I found your word, and I began to take it in. And you guys understand, Jeremiah and King David only had the Old Testament, and they were studying it that way. So, amazing, you guys, in the picture, if you will, in the Old Testament, in the Exodus, remember when God gave the children of Israel manna? It's a beautiful picture of devotions. Remember what happened. God said, every morning you come out and you'll see it. But if you wait too long, the sun's going to come up and it will be gone. So this stuff that they called manna, which was, like I said, tasted like coriander seed, would be on the grass or on the desert floor where they were at. They would go out and they would scoop it up and they could make stuff out of it. They made manicotti. They made banana bread. John and I have been around this way too long, okay? So they made all kinds of things out of this manna, right? But here's the important thing. They said, if you wait too long, it will be gone. So you got to go out there early in the morning and get it. Secondly, they told them, don't try to stock up stuff and say, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. Because if you do, you're trying to say, I'm going to keep some overnight. The next day it would grow, it would have worms in it. The only day that they could do that was on Friday. Well, on the Shabbat, they could pick up enough and it would last for that one day, the miracle of the manna bread. And so, or the manna. By the way, manna simply means, what is it? Isn't that cool? They came out and they go, what is it? They looked at it and they said, manna, which the Hebrew is, what is it? And that's what it gave, that's where the name came from. So the next time, like when you wake up early in the morning before your coffee, you look in the mirror and you go, manna. So they would go out, but then on Friday, for the Sabbath day, it was the only day that would last for that 24 hours. Then back on Monday or Sunday, the first day of the week, they'd have to go back out in the morning and get it. So each day lasted for only that day except for Friday. Isn't that cool? And it's really and truly, it's a picture of daily devotions, just like you and me. If you don't go out and get it in the morning, if you're not faithful on a daily basis, you kind of lose it. It loses its effectiveness, in my opinion. And so it's an amazing thing. And listen, if you do not, you will not, if you're not taking in the word on a daily basis, listen, I'm going to give you, this is a solemn promise of mine to you. If you are not taking in the word on a daily basis, if you're just coming here on Sunday saying, well, I'll just wait till Rob gets, the Bible goes back on the bookshelf till next Sunday, listen very carefully. You will not grow in your Christian walk because it's taking in daily food. That's why the little, kind of a daily tool called the daily bread, it comes from that whole concept. You and I, as believers, we got to be taking it in every day. Listen, I was doing this before I even knew that it was called devotions. I just had a hunger for the word way back when Mari and I first got, I grew up in a church, never heard this kind of a Bible study from the pastors that I grew up with. And so I am telling you, I just had a hunger for the words. I just started, waking up in the morning, just getting to know God. And I can tell you right now that Mari and I probably would not be married today if we were not doing that together. It's like what the Lord used to keep us together in the midst of the crazy early days of our married life. So daily devotions is a secret. I wish I could say I knew a shortcut to growing as a Christian. There isn't one. If there was, I'd know. All right, the guy that cheated his way through high school can tell you there. Children, You didn't hear that, okay? You didn't hear that. But here's the deal. If you're not taking it in, you will not grow. You will be up and down. You'll be controlled by your emotions, your feelings. It'll be crazy. But listen, if you think, you know, if you think, hey, let's go out today and we're going to eat a whole bunch of food and let's, you know, we'll just pack it in and then that'll hold me for a week, would that work for you on your physical life? No. And so it doesn't work on our spiritual life either. So let me give you some principles, and then I'm going to have something to share with you, okay? Principles that have helped me over the years. I'm not going to tell you how to do your devotions. I can give you principles that have worked for me, worked for Mari, and it gives you maybe a little bit of a guideline for you to use for your own personal life, okay? First of all, when I saw the whole story of when God called Moses, remember that whole story? That Moses is minding his own business, tending sheep on Mount Sinai, and all of a sudden he sees this bush burning, and it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And so it's an amazing thing that all of a sudden Moses sees that, and he makes a decision, I'm going to go check this out. And in that whole burning bush episode, I think is a beautiful place, along with Mark 4, where we learn about what devotions are all about. So listen, find a holy place. You have to have a holy place, whether it be your house, an office place in your house, or the quietness of your own bedroom, or, you know, I know we have people here that they don't have that quiet place in their house, so they go to their office early. We have guys that are in the construction field. They go to construction places, and they sit in their work vehicles, and they do their devotions there. Wherever it may be, you got to find that place, a holy place. Because remember, Moses' holy place was Mount Sinai. He walked over to that bush, and remember what God said to Moses? Take off your sandals, for this place that you have arrived at is what?
Holy ground.
That is a holy location. Why? Because God was there. Without God, it's just a piece of dirt on Mount Sinai, just a normal bush. But because God was there, it became very, very important. And listen, write this down in Mark 4 also. These are the words of Jesus from Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, Jesus, went and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Isn't that interesting? Jesus had a holy place for a quiet time. Now listen, he's the Son of God. If he needs it, don't you think we do? Right? So, amazing. So, where that is for you, I don't know. You have to find that location. For me, I have Mari and I have been blessed to have a home office that works for us. But, you know, one time, as I said, when we first got married, it was my dining room table until Mari kicked me out of that place. And, you know, whatever the place may be, you have to have a holy place. All right? Second thing you have to have is you have to dedicate a holy time. Now, I believe, personally, this is my personal opinion, it's early in the morning, taken from the manna idea, talking about Jesus getting up before, you know, the sun came up. I believe that it's a way to set the tone for the day. Remember when Moses went there, he arrives there early in the morning, and God begins his conversation. And from that conversation, he says, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people, my Jewish people that are in Egypt, and I'm sending you there. So from that holy place, Moses received instruction for what is going to happen next. How can you get instruction for your day if you're not doing it at the beginning of your day? Now listen, some of you, your day begins at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. Some of you work the night shifts or the swing shifts. So whatever it is for the beginning of your day, that needs to be your holy time. Because that's where you spend that time with God, and God's going to give you his instructions, just as he gave that group of people in Mark 4. Here's what I have to say to you. He's going to point you. He's going to aim you. He's going to shoot you out into the day. And you need to know what your directions are. We need to know what our instructions are. And I have found that oftentimes, if I do that at the beginning of the day, God allows me to share my devotions with somebody along the way in the daytime. It's an amazing miracle. So you have to dedicate a holy time. It literally becomes the tithe of your day. Some people say, Pastor, you don't understand. Right now I'm getting up at 5 as it is. Okay, get up at 4:30. What? Are you kidding? That's not going to work for me. I'll be so tired for the rest of the day. You want me to tell you something? You will not be tired for the rest of the day. It's a tithe. You know, in the principle of the tithe, as Joel shared with you a few weeks ago, it's amazing. You give something to the Lord. He doesn't say, okay, now that you've given it to me, I'll make you suffer. He said, I'm going to bless you. Those people that sacrifice their day, you guys that sacrifice your money to buy those gifts for those kids, you're not going to miss that. God blesses you in return. And so for those that say, okay, well I get up at 4, get up at 3:30. Whatever time, you back it up a half an hour and watch what happens. You're going to get your mind blown because you're going to think you're going to be tired during the day. No, God will bless you. He'll somehow make it up to you in the remainder of your day. How does he do it? I don't know. How does he restore our finances when we give him our tithe? I don't know how he does that stuff. That's a God principle. So then, the next thing I encourage you, you sit down and it's time to pray. So during that particular time, remember Jesus went to a solitary place and there he prayed. So you got to begin by praying. Start with thanking God for everything that he's done. Start with praying for your spouse. Remember what I told you guys? You husbands say, God, I want you to bless my wife and I want you to change me. You remember? Ladies, you remember what I told you? Lord, you bless me and you change my husband. Right? Uh-huh. That's how it works, right? No, you girls know. Lord, when you bless my husband, you change me. Pray for your kids. Pray for those people that are in your circle. And then you guys, since this is a spiritual book, it is a living book. In order for us to understand it, we got to ask God. I mean, to this day, I've read through the Bible I don't know how many times, but we just got done studying the book of Amos in our men's study, and the Lord showed me something new as I was going through it in our daily devotions. And so you say, Lord, speak to me. I need to hear from you. Remember the group that went to be alone with Jesus? They said, explain to us the parable. You have to ask him by his spirit, and he will reveal these things to you. And so you pray, and then you ask him. And then, you guys, it's time to open up his word and read his word. Listen, write this verse down. John 17:17, in the real Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So your word is truth. This, you guys, is the primary way, not the only way, but the primary way by which God speaks to us in our current culture, in this day. Now, will he speak to you through dreams, visions, and just impressions upon your heart? Yes, but if they go contrary to his written word, then it ain't from him. Okay? If he says, hey, you know what, you're a little short on Christmas money, why don't you go over and knock off the 7-Eleven? It'll help you out. No, listen, that will not work, okay? Plus, when you pray, listen, write this one down too, you guys. Ezekiel 46, again, going through our devos, the Lord spoke to me, and I'll try and make this quick. Each morning he tells them, you must sacrifice a 1-year-old lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With the lamb, a grain offering must also be given to the Lord. And listen to this very carefully. This one blew my mind after all these years. About 3 quarts of flour with 1/3 of a gallon of olive oil to moisten the choice flour. This will be a permanent law for you. The lamb, the grain offering, the olive oil must be given as a daily sacrifice every morning without fail. Now you're thinking, but what blew you away about that? What's interesting, the flour. Have you ever seen flour? Very dry. Very dry. If you just take a flour and just go, how would that taste? Pretty nasty, right? You'd be coughing it out. So what does he do? He tells them, I want you to add the olive oil and mix it together because it moistens the flour. And then that becomes, if you will, edible. So isn't that interesting? The word of God is often likened to, you know, the flour. It's likened to bread. But if you and I begin our day and we're not asking for the Holy Spirit, your devos will be bone dry like eating powder. But the Holy Spirit is often a symbol or a picture of oil. So when you mix the oil, when you say, Lord, by your Spirit, teach me, he mixes himself with the bread of the word, and it makes it palatable. So not just the word only, you become dry. And not just the Holy Spirit only, or you become crazy. Okay? It's the word and his Spirit mixed together. It becomes a very palatable meal. Does that make sense, you guys? That's why we need his Spirit when we're doing our daily devos. Because without that, you know, you're going to get, it's going to get all dry, and you're going to, you know, get bone dry. So then you need to read his word. So it is the way that God speaks to us. And, you know, I think that, you know, Satan would love for you. I mean, I've talked to people and they've said, you know, my devotions are just not working for me, Rob. And I say, okay, tell me what you're doing. Because daily devotions, the Lord uses that, you guys. I promise you that. So if there's something wrong in the devotion, in your devotion time, it's not the Lord, it's you or it's me. So when I've asked people, tell me what you're doing for your devotions, they say, well, you know, I'm usually in such a hurry, I just open up the daily bread and I read the daily bread. Wrong-o. Okay, so can I give you guys a quick test, okay? This is the Holy Word breathed by God. The daily bread is a book that is written by men. Which do you think is more important? I want to hear it. All right, very good, you guys. Okay, so now you always, if you're in a hurry, read your Bible and catch up on the Devo part of it later, okay? Then I want you to do something else. After you're finished, you close in prayer, and then you get ready for your day, and you pray. And I have to, and, you know, being over 50 now, I have to kind of stir my mind and stir my memory. I have to say, okay, what was it that I just read? What is that? Okay, what did I just read this morning? Oh, Obadiah, that's right. And you read what it is that God showed you. And when you're reading your Bible, I tell you right now, have a pencil handy. I keep one in my Bible because I won't forget. You have a pencil handy because God's going to speak to you. If you're asking him to speak to you, he's not going to say, no. Let me think about it. Nah, you weren't a good boy yesterday, right? You know, your Father in heaven, he loves you and he wants to spend time with you. So what we have done for the past several years is we've chosen, for those of you just this coming December 30th or 30th, do we have 31 days in December? Yeah. You'll have read through the entire Bible in a two-year period. I'm proud of you guys. So we've done many different devotional tools. This is the one we're going to do next year, okay? This was written by John Corson, and great Calvary guy. Many of you may have listened to him. So his commentaries are amazing. John's a great Bible teacher. And so I know him. I've listened to him personally. Great Bible teacher. So we got a bunch of these. Our cost plus shipping. We made it easy. $10, easy, okay? We have 50 of them today. We can get more. So if you want to grab one of these, please do it. Now, if you don't want to use a paper book, you can upload it onto your Kindle app, and you can put it on your phones or your iPads, and you have it today. I do both, honestly, because some days I'm out, and I say, okay, I'm going to do my devos here, and I don't have my book with me, and so I'll just use my, you know, my iPad or something. So you can do both. So it's the same price, I think, to upload it onto your Kindle app or something. I think it's $10 either way, okay? So for instance, so let me give you one last instruction. When you open up this, and they're laid out day by day, okay? So it's a tool, you guys. It's all it is, a tool to get you into your word. So the tool says here, so for instance, let's go, today is December, what is it, the 13th today? Okay, so December 13th. Ah, it's having us read Revelation 9, 7 through 10. So when I open up my Bible, so what I do is I will open my Bible. I have my tool here. Open my Bible to Revelation chapter 9, okay? Then that's when I have my Bible open. Now I'm going to pray. And then when I'm, after I pray, then I'm going to open it up. I'm going to kind of set this off to the side. I'm going to read the book of read my Revelation. I'm going to read my Bible first, you guys. And then sometimes you want to get it in its context. So sometimes you might pick something up and it says therefore, or you know, you can tell, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of a thought here. Well, what was just said, or why is this connecting to something else? Or where it tells you to stop, you may look at that and say, well, but wait a minute, there's more to this story. So read the whole chapter if you want to. But I want you to read with the intention of hearing from God, not just saying, I got to get this done because Rob said. And what if he catches me? Okay? No, I don't want it to be dry, just flour only. I want you to have the Holy Spirit mixed with the flour. Makes sense, gang? So you read your word, and if that's all you have time, take this with you and do read this part at lunchtime. Now, John, great Bible teacher, he may have some insight into the section that you've read, but always God's going to speak to you, so you want to write down what he spoke to you, whether you're a journal person or, you know, like me, I'm not afraid to write and highlight stuff in my Bible. It's not defaming your Bible if you want to write in it, okay? I do it because honestly, after the rapture, I want somebody to find this, okay? If you're someone that has a separate book that you write stuff in a journal, fine. But be ready to write something down because God's going to speak to you. And then I will open this up and read what has been shared with me on that particular day. And sometimes you may read it and go, oh, I missed that. And it illuminates something that you read, but somehow you missed it. So then you go back and you write something else down. After you're done, you close your Bible, you close your Devo book, and you pray, and then you continue to meditate on that as you begin to move through the rest of your morning. Now, let me just tell you something real quick. If you make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to, Lord, I want to be a person of my word. I want to come out and get my manna every morning. I want to start that. Let me just assure you of something. Satan is not going to tell the demonic world, hey, Rob wants to get closer to the Lord. So he's going to start getting up in the morning and start doing his daily demonic world, leave him alone and let him have some time with God. Do you think that the demonic world is going to do that? I can tell you it will not happen. You're going to be met with so many crazy distractions, it's going to be crazy. Your mind will wander. I'll be honest. You want me to be honest with you guys? Am I allowed to be honest? There are times I'll read something, I'll go, what did I just read? I have no idea what I just read. I'll read it again. Get halfway through, I don't know what I just read. Because my mind slips away and wanders off, and it may take me 3 or 4 times, but on the 4th time, I'm aha. I pushed through some sort of a spiritual barrier, and I'm in that place now. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, now I'm hearing from you. Does it make sense, gang? So it's not just you. It happens to, professionals like me. Okay. And here's the deal. Also, understand, like for me, I sit at my desk. You will be amazed at how many distractions you will have on your desk. All of a sudden, I'm starting to read, and I go, oh, I forgot to call that person back yesterday. Listen, and then you'll be amazed. People will call you that never called you at 5:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, your phone's going to ring. Oh, I need to get that. You will see. If you've got little kids at home, it's crazy. My little kids, when they were little, and I would wake up in the morning, and I'd be sneaking down to do my devotions. Dad? where if you sleep in, they sleep in. Isn't that crazy? So just know that there will be many distractions. When my children were little, I'd say, listen, come here, son. And you begin to teach them how to do their own devotions. You get them in their own devotion book. You say, here, read this while daddy does his devotion. You need daddy to do his devotions. Because in order for daddy to be the daddy you need me to do my devotion. Then after I get done, I bring my son up and say, come on now, let's do yours together. That's how you teach your kids. Listen, I have learned a couple things, you guys. You cannot give what you do not live. And we have to model these things. Husbands, you got to model this for your spouse. They got to be able to look at us and say, I see my leader up in the morning reading his Bible. Because then that prompts your spouse, your wife, to follow your example. You can't be looking at your wife saying, what's wrong with you, man? How come you're not in your word if you're not doing it? We can't look at our children and teach our children daily devotions if we're not doing it. You see what I'm saying? This is how we grow as Christian people. And if you will commit to this, I promise you, You will not come back to me, you know, 2 months from now or whatever and say, I shouldn't have listened to you. I started getting up in the morning. I've never been so tired in my life, and I'm bored stiff. You know, I have never come from, I'll give you your money back, and I've never had to give anybody's money back. Because you know what? It's not about me. It's about you and the Lord himself. And you have a Heavenly Father who loves you so much that he can't wait. When you arrive at your holy place, let me tell you something. He's not going to show up late. He'll be waiting for you because he loves you. And as any loving father wants to spend time with his kids, that is your Heavenly Father. So, make sense? If you have any questions, I'll be outside. You can grab a hold of me, ask me any question you want. But I've been doing this for 30-something years, you guys. And even to this, even on let me just tell you, even on Sunday mornings, get up and do your devos before you come here. Well, I don't need to do devos today because Rob's going to teach me. No, that's personal devotions. Husbands, wives, you can do it together, but don't do this together. You can sit by each other, but I want you to let God speak to you, because if not, you'll start to depend upon the other person to be the one to feed you. That's why they call it personal devotions. Now, Mari and I do them separately, but then we talk about it, so I'll have the chance to say, what did you learn today? What did you get out of your devos? Or she'll ask me. And then we are sharing with each other what the Lord showed us in that given day. And men, if your wife asks you, you listen. And don't correct her. And don't teach her. They hate it, don't you girls? Well, let me tell you what. I'm the teacher and you're the student, so listen to me and I'll tell you what you should have learned this morning. If you try that, guys, that'll be the end of your morning devo sharing it with your wife, okay? So, all right. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, amazing as it is. And I pray, Lord, for any of my brothers, sisters that are here today. Lord, if they've been doing their devotions, may you inspire them to keep going. If they've slacked, may you reignite the fire. If they didn't know this principle, Lord, bless them. And so, God, we commit not only the remainder of this year, let us finish well. As we finish out the Old Testament, let us finish it well. But, Lord, as we begin a new year, God, I pray that this would be the healthiest group of sheep in all of Ramona, because we're saying spending time with my dad in heaven is important to me. So, Lord, may you take us from this place and pour your spirit out upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.